National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
The coronavirus has drastically changed life across the globe. How are Catholics responding? This week on Register Radio, we talked to Register correspondent Solène Tadier about the corona situation in Italy and also in Lourdes. And then we talked to Dr. Jacqueline Leary-Warsaw, Dean of the School of Music, Drama, and Art at the Catholic University of America, about the role sacred music can play in this moment of crisis. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. I'm usually joined by my co-host Matthew Bunsen, but he couldn't be with us today. As the coronavirus continues to spread, as Europe has emerged as the center of the pandemic, really Italy has become the kind of center of the pandemic, and many people are watching how they are handling this deadly virus. About 80,000 victims have already contracted the virus, and half of those are in Italy. Solène Tadier has been in Italy. She works there from Rome, and Solène is joining us now. Welcome, Solène.
Hello, Jeanette. Thank you for having me.
Solène, this has been just a dire time for all in Italy. How are you weathering this moment?
Oh my goodness, yes, it is a tough moment, I would say. We have been quarantined for 12 days now, so wow. Almost 2 weeks. And it's not an easy situation for any of us, especially the Catholics that cannot even attend Mass. They cannot turn to the Lord during Mass to face this difficult time. So yes, right. We are gradually trying to organize our lives differently, but things are happening gradually, actually.
So this is just a practical question. You know, now we've been in kind of self-isolation here in my family, and many people in my city are doing this kind of self-isolation. We're having, you know, groceries delivered to us or going to just pick them up through a drive-through kind of situation. Is that the kind of thing possible where you are, for example, in Rome? Are there conveniences of that kind?
Yes, it is possible. Then it depends on the situation. I'm thinking about homeless, for example, who are in a very difficult situation. They are even fined by police because they are on the street, which is totally forbidden. You cannot be on the street without an auto certification. It is called this way. So Catholics are central once again in this crisis. Caritas Italy has launched a new fund, an ad hoc fund to help those in need. The elderly in this period of time, they provide lunch boxes, go to people's homes in order to face the situation. They cannot welcome people in canteens, but they find other ways to reach people. So poor people, people in need, and the elderly. And there is also, of course, the national initiatives. But Pope Francis himself gave 100,000 euros for charity works during this crisis. And I've heard of fundraisings in local churches. So we are organizing our new lives in order to, with the new safety rules, especially safety distance.
Right. Yes, we've been trying to cover this aspect as well, you know, funds to help the poor through things like Catholic Charities. This week, Peter Jesser Smith wrote a story covering that same topic, you know, just how are the homeless doing? How are people who really rely on our charity regularly doing in these kind of crises? And in many ways, it's difficult because funds dry up. People aren't giving in this kind of way. They're worried about their own livelihood. And so it's an extremely important thing for us to remember to continue to give to these places that are doing charity, and whenever possible, to volunteer for the charity itself, which is, as you say...
Yeah, they badly need volunteers, actually. They lack volunteers badly.
Right. And it's it's restrictive in how you can do that. So,
exactly.
So it's a time to call these places and find out how you can indeed help. And of course, at ncregister.com, you can see Peter Jesser Smith's story about Catholic Charities continuing to serve. So Len, you have written a wonderful story, an interview that you have done with someone who has always been a beacon of hope for those who are in need, and that is the rector of the shrine at Lourdes. And of course, for the first time, and I don't know how long, the Lourdes shrine has closed to the public. Tell us what's going on there in Lourdes in France.
So just like in the rest of the country, the shrine had to close its doors because in the whole country, masses were canceled and churches have closed almost all of them. And so at a certain point, poor Monseigneur Dumas had to close the doors as well. And when I talked to him, he expressed his deep sadness for being obliged to close access to public because he knows it is a place where people seek miraculous healings, protection. And he told me he was in shock. It is the first time in history that the shrine has to close. So it was a very, very difficult day for him. But he also insisted on the fact that the shrine remains a long of prayer in the heart, at the heart of the world. And he insisted on that like three times.
Wow.
Yeah, saying that, you know, we are keep praying for people and now we have a new service basically every day from 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Priests, deacons, chaplains of the sanctuary take shifts at the grotto to pray for the sick and those in need. And these prayers are being broadcasted on the sanctuary website. And there is also a novena of prayer to the Immaculate going on until March 25. And it started on March 17.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I want to direct our listeners to find your story at ncregister.com. It's called Lourdes Rector, Closed Shrine Remains a Lung of Prayer for the World. And that's really a beautiful phrase that Monsignor Oliver Dumas used. He's the rector of the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. It was just a beautiful, touching interview. I mean, so many things now, Solène, can very easily bring me to tears. I think our hearts are frail from these moments of physical isolation from people that we love. And of course, we don't have the sacraments in the same way. And this this is one of the things that has almost brought me to tears, is just seeing how much people are holding together through prayer in a virtual kind of community. I mean, we're recording this on the day that Pope Francis asked us all to pray together at the 4 p.m. It was 4 p.m. Eastern time in the United States. It was 9 p.m. in Rome. He asked us to pray together the rosary. And I know countless people, countless people who pray together with the Pope. What do you what do you have to say about just the power of prayer in this moment, even communal prayer?
It's very important that you say that, because it is actually something I've been hearing for days now. Every person I've been interviewing, priests, every Catholic people, they all told me, even Monseigneur Dumas told me, this crisis is for us an opportunity to rediscover what it really means to be in communion of prayer. Because we say all the time, oh, in communion of prayer, but we eventually we don't even know what it means. And now we rediscover it in our flesh, I would say. So it is something incredibly deep and profound. Mass has left churches temporarily, but it is spreading all over social media, TV, radio, like it has never done before. So it is something new and very interesting at the first time. It's extremely painful, but there is a kind of miracle going on other spheres of this world. And it is something we must keep in mind.
So, Len, during this time, the Register has been trying to draw attention to various saints who can help us in these times in this time, because during their own lives they lived, whether it was through plague or through other kinds of great difficulty. Is there a saint that you turn to often for prayer?
In France right now, we are praying all the time Saint Roch, because he's the saint that we pray in case of plagues or very serious diseases, and I always pray Prince Saint Roch, but I always turn to the Virgin Mary, of course, and today Saint Joseph. So today there will be my first saints in my prayer.
Absolutely. You know, one of the I love praying to Saint Joseph in a time like this, because he wanted so desperately to protect the Holy Family, and he's always a saint we pray to for protection from temporal ailments or temporal problems. And so, of course, we all turn to Saint Joseph today, pleading for his prayers, for our intercession. And you know who else I've been thinking of often is Saint Clare of Assisi, especially as Italy is plagued so much. I began thinking of Saint Clare when I read the publisher's note by Michael Warsaw, the publisher of the Register. He wrote about St. Clare's life, how she lay ill, could not go to Mass, and had basically an interlocution of the Mass as she could see it in her mind as it was being celebrated. And so she became the patron saint, patroness of televised Masses, of television, basically. And
that's
so
right.
I have turned to St. Clare to help me during this time to remember to turn to the internet and to television for help in my spiritual life, because it really is easy for journalists like us at this time to just work because there's so much to report on. But it is really important for us to fill our minds also with this communion, spiritual communion when we can't receive the Eucharist, but also communion of the saints and communion with those who are also praying. Stellan, you mentioned the priests that you have talked to, and it is just tragic there in Italy that as of this recording, 28 priests in northern Italy have died from coronavirus. This is just drastic. Are they contracting the virus because of the care that they are giving to the faithful?
We don't have all the details right now, but it can be, yes, because they are all in close contacts with people. And even during this crisis, countless priests are trying their best to make people feel their presence through countless initiatives like virtual groups of prayer, in order to enlighten people's day, and I've been very touched by the story of Father Plucchinotta. It is the chaplain of the first hospital in Rome for COVID-19, and he brings the sacrament to patients under isolation, and he's incredibly brave, and he's taking risk, mortal risks also, to bring the sacraments to people. And it is incredibly touching. And in times like this, we see how important they are in our lives. And they are very creative, very innovative, in their attempt to be a support to us.
So you are there, it's almost like ground zero, because Italy has become now even worse than China was. Solène, are you guys seeing any light at the end of the tunnel? What are they saying in terms of the end of this? Are there breakthroughs in getting through this?
Well, it is very difficult to say right now. We know that several treatments are being tested in several parts of the world, so we expect we expect with hope these results, but we have no idea. The only thing that gives us hope right now is that for the first time, the number of people that have passed in the last 24 hours has decreased a little bit. It was 427 today, a little bit less than yesterday. So we really hope that it will continue like that. But we have no idea. It is something totally unpredictable. So we just keep ourselves in God's hands and try to do our best to avoid contact with people and try to stay safe and not to infect other people.
Right. Right, and that's all we can do at this time is to listen to those public officials and try our best to isolate, to protect each other, but most important to stay in communion of prayer, as you have been beautifully talking about. Celine, thank you for your witness. For my team here in the U.S., so we've connected daily on Skype, and you have been a prayerful witness, and we're grateful for that. Please continue to cling to Our Lady, and we love your updates, and thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Jeanette.
When we come back, we will talk to Dr. Jacqueline Leary-Warsaw, Dean of the School of Music, Drama, and Art at the Catholic University of America, about how sacred music can help us in this moment of crisis. This is Register Radio. More when we return.
Don't miss a moment of 2020. Try 6 issues of EWTN's National Catholic Register today for free. Stay connected and follow the latest from Washington, D.C., the 2020 elections, along with events from the Vatican and the world. Only the National Catholic Register brings you in-depth news and analysis from a Catholic perspective. Award-winning journalism that goes beyond what you'll find from any secular news service. Try the Register for free today and get it delivered to your home, office, or parish. To get 6 free issues, order online at ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code radio. That's ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code radio. Don't miss a minute of 2020. Call or click today. The National Catholic Register. Read faithfully.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, and I'm here along with Matthew Bunsen, my co-host here on Register Radio. In the midst of every crisis and moment of darkness, the Church offers a vast treasury of holiness, hope, and beauty. And of course, this crisis we face now with the coronavirus is no exception. One special gift that the Church offers us right now is sacred music. And to discuss how sacred music can be so important, we are joined by Dr. Jacqueline Leary-Warsaw. She's Dean of the Catholic University School of Music, Drama, and Art. She's an internationally recognized music educator and a classical soprano. But you who are listening may know Dr. Leary-Warsaw best by her EWTN series, In Concert. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So I know you're there at Catholic University. Of course, classes have been, in-person classes have been shut down. How have you and your students been dealing with the crisis?
Yes, that's right. It is. It's been very difficult for us, and we are blessed here at the university with an amazing body of students and faculty. You're right. We have gone online with all of our classes, and our classes will be taught online until the end of the semester. Our residence halls are closed for the remainder of the semester, and our employees have been given the option to work remotely. So we are working through this, using our faith in God to get us through this very, very difficult time. It's been hard for everyone. I think it has been especially hard for the students. If I could speak just for our school, the Rome School of Music, Drama, and Art, we've had to cancel or postpone many of our events. I should say all of our events have been either canceled or postponed. And many of these were student performances,
right.
Performances that graduating seniors were given. performances that were main stage productions. And so, as you can imagine, for the students who put long, long days filled with hard work and doing that for weeks and months, and then to be told that those events are canceled, it's tough. That's a very tough thing for a student to have to endure.
I imagine. I mean, I imagine how tough that would be. And we've been trying to track down a story. We heard of one student at a university. It wasn't CUA, but it was a student at a university whose choir was trying to mix a concert from their own places. So they were trying to be very creative with ways of putting together their music and being able to offer something. Mm-hmm. Or I think it was probably more for them than for anyone who would be listening. But have you heard of those kind of efforts amongst any of your students?
So those are exactly the kind of things that we're doing here in the Rome School. So when we say that we have gone online, we've taken a lot of those performance opportunities, what would have been public performances, and are now doing those streaming or doing a recorded type of performance. Our main stage productions, we had two that were scheduled. One is going to be rescheduled for next fall. The other one, which is a performance of Measure for Measure, the folks involved in that have been so creative, and they're going to take that and turn that into an online reading do it in that capacity.
Wonderful.
It will be a production still, but it will be more of a reading reading of the play. So, you know, our performances that were to be done for degree requirements, specifically senior recitals, those are now again being done all online. They're not public performances anymore, but they are a type of performance that is being done for the faculty in order that those students can get a grade and be graduated.
Absolutely.
So, and we also here in the school, we have our Department of Art that focuses on the visual arts. We have a strong digital arts program in that department. So for that program, it's been very easy for them to go online. The parts of our department that center on painting and sculpture, that's been more about students having to have slides, photographs, and putting those online again for either public viewing or viewing by the faculty for grading. So it is remarkable to me, and I stand in amazement when I look at what is being done here at the university, but across all of higher education really right now. The whole field has been affected, and it is amazing to me when I see the creative ways that people are able to deal with this situation and to take these elements of education online, elements
Absolutely.
Like performance that one wouldn't have thought about before. And it's caused us to dig deep within ourselves, have strong faith in God, and find a way to get through this, and
Absolutely.
We're doing it.
You know, Dr. Leary Warsaw, I knew I wanted to do a show, a Register Radio show on music, when last Sunday I watched EWTN's televised mass, and I was completely taken into deeper prayer through the music that accompanied that liturgy. And I, you know, being an employee of EWTN, we get this feedback that's sent to EWTN. They'll send it out to the employees every now and then. And I wasn't alone in my wonder at the beauty of that liturgy and the choir's work. You know, music has such an incredible power. It just helps us to face a crisis like this in maybe a more robust way, in a braver way, in a creative way, in a faith-filled way. Why do you think that beauty and especially sacred music can touch us so much right now?
I believe very strongly that music can touch us right now. It makes me think about what St. Augustine said. He said music was given to us by God in order to lead us to higher things. And I just think that this time, right now, we're being called to find those ways that can lead us to higher things and ultimately to God. And music is one of those ways that we can find this. You're exactly right. We know that music affects the emotional experience. There have been many studies done on that, and there continue to be many studies. So the data proves that music affects the emotional experience. And we know that music can affect every human emotion possible. It's really fascinating when one thinks about that we can listen to music and be moved to some emotion, but also music can offer us other effects. People will listen to music, for example, to help them concentrate better or to relax. It's even known to improve cognitive tasks. So in this way, I look at music and I think, of course, it is one of our greatest gifts from God, and we're being called to use music now in our life in a way that perhaps we haven't been. It's fascinating to see how the music world is reacting to this, knowing that the majority of us are not able now to get out of our homes, or we're working remotely, we're holed up in our houses. And it's amazing to see how the music world is responding to that. It makes me think right now the Metropolitan Opera, for those who love opera, they now have the option to see free nightly streamings every single night on the Met's website. And that's simply being done as a service to all of us, so that we have some way of bringing music into our life. And then of course, I think about how when we talk about music taking us to a higher level and bringing us closer to God, we have so many forms of music that can do that. And depending on our love of music, we all have different tastes when it comes to music. Depending on what that may be for an individual, there are so many choices. It might be just thinking and singing the hymns that one grew up with as a child. You mentioned In Concert, and on In Concert we feature performances of many of the great sacred choral works. So it can be something like that. We think about Gregorian chant, which is rooted in ancient liturgy. And the list goes on and on and on. But there are so many ways that we can use sacred music really as a form of prayer and to help us in our prayer life right now.
You know, you mentioned the Met. I would just want to give people a chance to go to that website. The website is www.metopera.org, and I think you can find the streaming of those concerts there. I also wanted to mention a piece that Joe Pronishin wrote at NC Register ewtn.com. It's on that EWTN choir that I spoke about earlier. EWTN choir brings heavenly song to televised mass, and that's by Joe Pronisch. And it's about those at EWTN who do sing and who bring the music to us. We are going to continue this conversation for our podcast, Dr. Leary Warsock, because this is a really good and important conversation. I think Matthew wanted to jump in with a question.
You were talking about the importance of this and helping people get through this. I was reminded of on the viral video that went around the world of the Italian tenor who was serenading his neighbors from his balcony. The one that went viral was, I think he was singing Nessun Dorma from one of the great operas in history. What are some of your practical tips for people who are housebound, who can't get out right now, who are working from home, but also really suffering from anxiety and fear, to make beauty part of their lives?
Yeah. You know, it's such a wonderful question, and one of the things I've been thinking a lot in along those lines is how now we're being told that the churches are being closed. An example of that is, you know, I look out my office window and I see the beautiful Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception every day. And even the Basilica has closed now. And they're streaming their Sunday Mass. And so what it makes me think about is how for so many of us, we wish we could go to Mass in person for those who don't right now don't have that option if they're somewhere where a church is closed. And that makes me think about how all of the beautiful Mass settings that we have and how we can listen to a Mass setting and we can use that to help us in our to make an act of spiritual communion, and how just something like that, listening to one of the great Masses, musical settings of the great Masses that we have in our vast musical repertoire of sacred music, something like that can again support our prayer life, and we can listen to that Mass and we can make our act of spiritual communion, and it's again bringing us closer to God. So I think for us, in a lot of ways, you ask about what are some of the practical ways that we can use music in our day. That's one way that I would suggest is using it for our prayer life, using a Mass setting, listening to a beautiful Mass setting, and making our act of spiritual communion with that.
And Doctor, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
If you could share with us maybe your favorite music or even your favorite
sure.
settings, and that would be a good place maybe
sure.
to draw a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many. A few. I'll mention composers. A few of the great composers who we can turn to at this time. I think about an Ave Maria. Many people are familiar with the Bach Gounod setting of the Ave Maria, or the Schubert setting of the Maria Ave Maria. Giulio Caccini also wrote an incredibly beautiful and moving setting of the Ave Maria. There are settings of the Lord's Prayer, but composers, I would suggest that we turn to some of the music of Monteverdi and Carissimi, Palestrina, Machaut, Dufay, great works by Handel and Brahms, Messiaen, Fauré, Haydn, Mozart, and that's just a few. Even a living composer like Penderecki, who is writing so much beautiful sacred music these days. These are works that can really lift us up, as St. Augustine said.
I really appreciate, you know, this conversation and you taking the time to speak with us. I have found myself drawn to music at this time, and I have three small kids, and as I've put the kids to bed, I have found myself just singing to them, and maybe not the usual nursery rhyme songs, but I've been very drawn to just chanting Tantum Ergo, because I miss my, you know, my reception of the Eucharist. And so I'm so grateful for your words, for you and your students who are continuing to do this work of spreading beauty. So thank you very much, and we'll pray for you and your students during this time, as we hope you will be praying for all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks for this opportunity to chat like this. I very much enjoyed it.
Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us here on Register Radio on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless you.